join the American Family Robinson again in Centerville. The plan to get the Herald back on its feet and prevent the stopping of publication due to financial reverses goes on, with Betty Robinson as its ringleader. Editor Luke was ready to give up when he discovered that the paper was running a deficit and that the stockholders decided to close down. But not so the younger Robinsons. They are putting all their youthful energy and ingenuity to work to save the Herald and show their loyalty to Editor Luke. The plan is to get enough new subscriptions and advertising contracts together to convince Mr. Markham, the town's foremost manufacturer, that the Herald is a good risk for a big loan. As we tune in today, we find a council of war about to start between the two younger members of the family and Mother Robinson. It's after dinner in the Robinson Library. Listen.
Say, where did Dad go? Isn't he going to be in on a conference about his own paper?
Oh, he had to go back to the office tonight. He's going over the books with Mr. Barton. Poor dear. I can't even bear to talk to him about the paper. He doesn't even know what we're doing.
Well, all the better. We'll work the thing and then surprise him.
It's a shame he doesn't know what an active up-and-coming family he has. Oh, I'll be glad when this big drive is over with, so I can see my wife. She takes to this sort of thing like a duck to water.
Oh, don't worry, Dick. You'll get her back again. It's good for her to have a change, and she certainly seems to thrive on it. She's in better spirits since she started this than I've ever seen her.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I wouldn't know. When I get home from the office these days, the only welcome I get is a note on the dining room table. Darling, there's cold ham and salad in the icebox.
Oh, poor Dick. Oh, I wish it hadn't happened. I'd always hoped the Herald would make things comfortable for you children, that you'd never have to worry. That's what Luke and I have spent our lives building up, a secure foundation for ourselves in our old age and a good start in life for our children. A business that was sound and fair in its dealings.
Oh, I'm not really sore, Mother Robinson. And I wouldn't have missed this for worlds. I love a fight, and this is something to fight for. You don't have to feel sorry about the Herald. It's as sound as America itself. It's just passing through a crisis like everything else.
Why, sure it is, Mom. Dad did everything anybody could to make the Herald the best paper, the best business in the country. And he did it, too. Well, this isn't his fault.
Oh, I know it isn't. But it just doesn't seem fair that he should be punished for building a sound business. It's all I can do to keep from saying, what is this world coming to?
Well, go ahead and say it if it'll make you feel better. And we can hope the answer will be to its senses in the course of time. When people realize that prosperity comes from producing goods and services and not out of the taxpayers' pockets.
Yeah, but we can't wait for that. The Herald can't. And in the meantime, I think the meeting ought to be called to order.
All right, Brother Bob, if you insist on parliamentary procedure. But don't you think we ought to wait for Betty? She's probably got some news.
Oh, for gosh sakes, why wait for her? She's probably out gadding somewhere.
Why, Bob Robinson, you know perfectly well she isn't. Why, she got 30 subscriptions yesterday.
Well, I'm not surprised. She probably vamps them into signing up.
Do I detect a slight flavor of jealousy? How many subscriptions have you got, vamping or otherwise?
Well, I got a couple. Well, gee, I have to work all day. She's got nothing else to do.
Well, every little bit helps. I've got five.
And I've got one.
You have?
Yes.
Oh, good night, Mom. You haven't been going around, have you, from door to door?
No, but I may yet. I got that one when Mrs. Schultz came in to borrow some sugar. Betty was here, and she put me up to it. I never was so surprised in my life as when Mrs. Schultz signed on the dotted line.
Good for you, Mother Robinson. How did you sell her? Did you invite her to contribute recipes?
No, sir. I invited her to contribute to the People's Column. She balked at first, but I managed to convince her that she really has something to say. She lives on an income, and her viewpoint on taxes is worthwhile. After all, there are millions of women like her, left dependent on incomes that are rapidly being taken away.
You know, I think this column is going to be darned interesting when it gets going. I've gotten some fine stuff from the people I've talked to. Some really illuminating opinions on what's going on. You'd be surprised how people are settling down to think.
And they sure do like the idea of putting their opinions in print, too. And this column will have to be spread into a whole page before we get through, if the subscriptions hold out.
And don't worry about the subscriptions. We can print new ones when we run out of the blanks we have. I only hope it'll be necessary.
And that brings us back to the business of the meeting. Now, I've got a swell thing here, a manual of salesmanship. All you gotta do...
Hello, where's everybody? everybody.
Oh, here, Betty.
Well, well, Mrs. Collins, unless I miss my guests.
In person. Hello, darling. Miss me?
Oh, no, I've gotten quite used to a bachelor existence again. It's been quite pleasant having the house to myself and getting my own meals.
Brute, you'll be sorry when you see what I've got.
Oh, for Pete's sake. I was right in the midst of something really constructive, and the whole meeting has to go haywire just because a member is late.
Sorry, Bobby. I wouldn't interrupt you for the world. Not if you were being helpful, if you were.
All right. Very well. We'll just forget the whole thing.
Now, Bob, don't be difficult, dear. We'd all love to listen to you. But don't you think all the reports should be in before we take up new business? Betty's report isn't in yet, you know.
Well, I guess that'd be more regular. All right, Betty, how about your report?
25 today. I dropped 5 since yesterday. Maybe I'm losing my grip.
25? Mm. My goodness, Betty, where'd you find the people?
All over. And I mean all over. I've walked miles and miles. And I've smiled winningly till there isn't even a flicker left in me. But I've had a swell time.
Say, you'd better let up a little, honey, and give the rest of us a chance. You'll have the whole field covered before we get started.
Oh, there's plenty of field left. When we get through with Centerville and get subscriptions from every man, woman, and child, we can go over and start on Grand Junction.
My goodness, is there no limit to your ambition, Betty? You know, you children have almost got me to believe that we can do it. Oh, I think we ought to tell Luke about it now. He'd be so encouraged.
Oh, no. No, let's wait till it's all done and Mr. Markham has signed up for our loan. Then we can lay it all in Daddy's lap like a pre-Christmas present.
Oh, well, we're not going to get anywhere. We just sit around and talk about how good we are. I move that I be given a chance to advance some constructive ideas for this meeting.
All right, Bob, carry on. We can hardly wait.
Well, I've been giving a good deal of thought to this circulation drive. And it seems to me that if we're going to do this at all, we ought to go at it scientifically.
Bravo!
Oh, you haven't even heard the idea yet.
Sorry, maybe you better give me a signal when it's time to cheer.
This isn't supposed to be funny. I'm serious.
Go on, dear. Don't let them rattle you.
Well, in order to go about it scientifically, you've got to consult the experts. So that's what I did. This involved an outlay of cash, which I advanced out of my own pocket. It cost me $1.98. But it was worth it. Of course, I got it second hand, but it's almost as good as new.
What is?
The manual. It's called the Manual of Salesmanship for the Up-and-Coming Salesman with a Future.
But, darling, we're not selling can openers. This is a different kind of selling.
Well, the same rules apply no matter what you're selling. It says so in the introduction. Whether you are selling an idea or a set of encyclopedias, the psychological procedure is the same. Pretty good, huh?
Excellent. And a new idea, too. Whoever thought that up was a genius.
That's fine, Bob, and I move we all contribute to reimburse you for your outlay. But do you think we'll have time to take this correspondence course in, Sully?
Why, sure. Just a few simple rules to remember. See how skinny the book is, even if it did cost $1.98. Now, look, let me read a couple to you, will you? It increases your selling efficiency 100%. It says so.
My, think of that.
Well, now look, here, for instance, this is a rule. The clever salesman will always remember that a foot in the door is worth 2 on the threshold. Once you get your foot in the door, the battle is half won.
Heavens, I've met salesmen like that, and the only reaction I get is to call the dog, if I had a dog.
Well, then your sales resistance must be higher than normal. It works in 9 cases out of 10, and you must be the 10th. There's another rule for people like you, Mom. Now listen, if the subject is antagonistic, use the subtle flattery method. And it gives an example. The salesman says, Mrs. Blank, do you know that you remind me very much of Blank?
Now, that would melt the hardest heart. Who is Blank, and why would it flatter your mother to resemble him or her?
Well, I was coming to that. It explains here, right underneath. If the subject is young, tell her she reminds you of a famous motion picture actress. This never fails. If she is an older woman, say she resembles a famous woman whose accomplishments are well known as, for instance, Florence Nightingale or Carrie Nation. You see? You get it?
Yeah, we get it. Now, that's fine, Bob, and we're certainly grateful to you for letting us in on it. Now, shall we go on with the business of the meeting? I think we ought to consider the phase of advertising now that the circulation drive is getting on so well.
Hey, wait a minute. We haven't finished with the manual yet. There's lots more to it. I hadn't even come to the sales talk yet. There's a lot of different styles, and it tells you just what to say.
Well, I'll tell you what we ought to do about the manual, Bob. We ought to give it some sort of a test to prove whether it's as efficient as it says. I'll tell you, you study it and use its principles, and we'll just carry on as we've been doing, and then, you see, we can compare. If you get more subscriptions, that'll prove that the manual should be adopted.
Yeah, well, we haven't got time to fool around with experiments. We ought to all adopt it right away.
But you see, darling, I don't think we'll need the manual. I haven't had any psychological problems for the manual to solve at all. Everyone I talk to has been eager to listen. As soon as I ask them to contribute an article to the Herald on a subject of any problem that interests them, they just eat it up. Why, one man I talked to today kept me for half an hour telling me about a research he'd made into the subject of how much every working citizen of the United States is paying in taxes without knowing it. Why, he discovered that one-third of everybody's income goes for hidden taxes. Well, he was anxious to let the people know about it, and he leaped at the chance of publishing his findings, and of course he wanted to take a subscription to see if his article in print and to see the reaction of other people to it. Well, it isn't a sales problem at all, Bob.
Yeah, that's great, but I still think we should adopt the sales manual. If we do, we'll be getting two subscriptions out of every house instead of one.
Bob, dear, I know you're trying to help, and your fundamental idea is good. But it just doesn't seem to apply in this case.
In short, your idea is much better than the manual. I think you are stuck.
Oh, is that so? Well, I guess you know more about it than the experts. I guess you weren't listening when I read you about how this book is the secret of selling success. Look, here, it says so. Don't you even believe it when you see it?
Well, what goes on? If it's a fight I want in, I'm in fine form tonight.
No, it's not a fight, Uncle Windy. It's a mere case of prejudice. You say you're a salesman, Windy, or you were when you were working, and you ought to know. Is it better to follow the manual or just make it up as you go along and set yourself up as a sales expert even if you're nothing but a reporter?
Sales manual? Let's see.
The best one there is. Look.
Why, you're right. It's the best one there is. Follow that and you can't go wrong.
There, you see there? Even Windy knows about it.
Know about it? I should think I did know about it. Why, I wrote it.
What?
You what?
Why, of course I wrote it. When I was head of the sales force of the Eureka Garbage Can Company. If you look in the frontispiece, you'll see by William Winkle, sales expert.
And I paid $1.98. I was robbed.
You were not robbed. You got a bargain. Well, I'll see my publisher for letting that go at a cutthroat price. It's an outrage. That book is known far and wide as the most valuable treatise on the art and science of selling.
I move that the subject of the sales manual be dropped. And let's get on with our meeting. You and Bob can settle that privately.
Motion seconded.
And carried by common consent.
All right, just the same. Wendy owes me $1.98.
Never mind, Bob. I'll pay you the $1.98 if you'll never mention the subject again. Now, Dick, you were going to talk about advertising for the Herald. And, Bill, we don't want to bore you with this. I'm sure you have something you'd rather do than listen to us.
Why, not at all. It appears I arrived just in time. I gather that this is a meeting of the Save the Herald Society?
Yes, but I don't think you'd be interested, Windy.
Wait a minute. I think we'd better listen if Windy has something to say. How'd you make out, Windy, with Miss Timmons?
Well, I'm glad somebody around here appreciates the fact that I just might have something to offer, and I have. I wish to announce that the day is saved. Winkle has come through as usual.
With what? Did she agree? A year's contract for a page display?
Well, I'd rather tell it my own way. You are roughly right. But there are conditions which I felt it was only fair to impose in return for my services as the man who saved the Herald from extinction, to put it mildly.
Betty, I told you not to get him into it. Now look.
Has Windy saved the Herald? And what are the conditions? Whatever they are, it's certain that Windy has found a way to get a finger into the pie. Join us in our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.